I always go back to the big blockbuster movies. I just loved the Ben-Hur and Lawrence of Arabia and people like that, Dr. Zhivago. Movies like that were just great, well put together. They weren't CGI. If you wanted 10,000 warriors, you got the army out, you know. My name's John Heron, and I've been a projectionist and a post-sync sound recordist for film for the last 55 years. When I was a kid, I used to love the movies, and I got a job at our cinema in New Zealand as a tray boy selling the ice creams and lollies at the beginning of the show and ice creams at half time. We used to go into the cinema and do that. And I was always fascinated at how the movies worked, and I went to got a job as assistant projectionist in the projection room. Those days it was a 3-year license, where you had to learn electrical, optical and the basics of film. Australian projectionists were also licensed, most of them right up until the late 60s, and then it became just basically you knew how to work a job, do the job.
So tell me about what you actually do in your day-to-day as a projectionist.
The film comes in, and it still comes in on reels. Most films are 6 reels of film, and then you have to join them all together, and you put them onto what we call a platter. That's a big flat plate, and you join the trailers and ad films all together, and then that takes you about an hour and a half or so to do one film, and then that is ready to be shown in the screen.
I think most people would probably think that these days everything would be digital, and it might be a surprise to know that they still are using films.
Film is on its way out, and within the next few months there will be no film left anymore. Most cinemas have been converted to digital projection, and we here at Dubbo has just been converted last week.
So we'll talk about that process in a little while, but I wanted to go back to when you were first working as a projectionist. What was that like when you first started to learn how to put those films together and reel them up and then see them up on the big screen?
In those days it was great because you had 2 projectors and each reel had to be shown, was only 20 minutes long, and you had to do changeovers from one projector to the other to run the whole film smoothly in the cinema. Normally there was 2 people involved in the projection room, because you were quite busy rewinding the film and rewinding each spool as it came off the projector and putting the next spool up and then doing your changeovers.
It sounds like it was actually something that could have been quite, get the heart pumping a bit, a bit exciting.
That was really exciting. That was the best times, actually. And the later times when we had the big blockbuster movies, they were fantastic. The 60s with the blockbuster movies was a great, great era. Full houses every night was a great buzz to show big blockbuster movies like that to the public.
I guess watching film then especially, it was a really special time, something that people would do and really marvel at the mystery and the excitement of going to the movies.
That's right. Way back in those days, in the 60s and late 50s, early 60s, television was in its infancy, and people used to still come out to the cinema. Most of the cinema I worked in originally, Saturday night, was about a 1,500-seat theatre, and Saturday night was totally booked out. And people had permanent bookings for every Saturday night. It was a great night out for the public.
You also were very involved in making a lot of the sound effects and putting those films back together again. Tell me what sort of process that is and when you need to use those sorts of skills.
When I came to Australia, I got involved in post-production sound at ATLAB and then Film Australia and eventually colour film. On the big budget films like the Mad Maxes and Crocodile Dundees and things like that, you'd have 3 people mixing the film. You'd have somebody who would do the dialogue mixing, and somebody else who would do the effects mixing, and a third person would do the music. And an average film would take at least a fortnight to put the soundtrack together properly with all the music and effects.
And so this would all be happening in a studio, would you be in?
Yes, it's a little theatreette with a whole lot of seating. Would seat about 50-odd people, when it was just the mixing console was towards the back of the cinema, and it was just like one of the cinemas you go in today, but lots smaller, and it had a mixing console in there. And we just used to mix it to sound the same all throughout all the other cinemas.
And what about the music? What did that involve?
The music mostly was you'd get the orchestra into the cinema or a big studio, and you would record the music onto a 24-track. Sometimes you would record it just to time, length of time for each individual piece of image, but other times you would have the image up on the screen and they would re-record the music to the image on the screen.
It's a real golden age of film, isn't it, that idea of getting the orchestra in and recording?
That's right. I can remember I got sent down to Melbourne and recorded the music for the first Mad Max film. No, the second Mad Max film. Brian May was the composer and conductor, and we had a full orchestra in the theatre, but we only showed it up onto a video screen. But still, that was an amazing session, film recording all the music for the Mad Max film. My main part was in post-production sound was recording, dialogue recording and post-sync effects. A lot of the artists would come back into the, or the actors would come back into the studio, and we would have to re-record their voices because of loud background music or loud background cars or trucks or something like that, depending on the location. And they would re-record their voices, that get back into the character again and record their lines. We'd feed the old lines into the headsets, and then they would record it to the picture on the screen and so on. So the Mad Max films, because there was so much noise with all those big cars going, most of the dialogue was re-recorded in the studio.
What was that like to work on something like Mad Max? Did you know you were working on something that was going to be such a phenomenon?
Yes, because the first one was successful, and the second Mad Max 2 was we knew was going to be a huge success. And to a certain extent, Beyond Thunderdome, the third one was also good, which I worked on also.
Sadly, this is the end of an era for you, and not only just for you, but for the equipment here as well. During the week, all of the equipment here at the Dubbo Cinemas was swapped over to digital. What was that process like for you?
A bit emotional, because it's the last of film that I've been working on for the last 55 years, so haven't got any more film to run through my fingers or rewind on the rewind bench. But it was exciting watching the whole process going over. Sadly enough, now the 35mm projectors are sitting down in the corner there, all looking very sad and forlorn. And we have big, bright, new digital projectors.
So what's next for you?
Relaxation. I'm not sure what's going. It's a bit nervous about, you know, you go through three things in your life. You go through school, and then you go to a big change of life to working life, and then at the end of your working life, retirement. So I'm looking forward to it. We'll go tripping around and do bits and pieces. And
going to be watching any movies?
I've got lots of movies I want to watch, especially some of these big old films that came out in the 40s, 50s and 60s.
Tell me how these machines work. These look like absolute beauties.
It's the last of the 35mm films and projectors, I should say. They would we'd thread the projector up all the way through and back to the platter system, which holds the whole film. And then we would set the timer, which is basically a computer with cues, and it would run the whole show. So we'd set the time, say, at 10:45, and it would count back to 11 o'clock, and the whole show would start up, take your house lights down, take your stage lights down, show your trailers, and then swap the lenses over if it was going from a widescreen to a CinemaScope film, change audio levels, all that sort of thing would all happen automatically. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the movie came, you had to re-thread the projector up, set the timer again for the next sessions. You had to be careful they didn't program all the screens to start at once, because you couldn't get round to thread them all at once.
And now down here there is an actual film you've still got out here that you haven't quite put away. Can you tell me how you actually put these films together? Because it is a massive looking piece of film here, and then how it plays.
Well, first of all, we wind it on the rewind bench, and we get each reel and we put it up onto about three reels together onto a big 6,000 foot spool, and then from that we have this bench with rollers, and we roll it onto the platter, which is three big plates about 5 foot in diameter, and that's where the film sits lying on its side. And from there, the start of the movie is in the centre, and the tail of the movie is at the outside. We have a feed-out unit which fits in there, and it feeds the film out and over to the projector, and then it comes back and is wound back up on the second plate or the third plate down.
So how long would it take you to put a film together?
Normally, by the time you get it out of the box and so on, it takes about an hour and a half to wind it. I used to wind it all through my fingers to make sure there was no damage to the film and no joins that I had to fix. Then you put the trailers and the ad films onto it, and then from there you wound it onto this platter system. So now I'm just going to break this film down. I'm starting at the tail of the movie, which is reel 8 in this particular film, and I'm putting it onto its bobbin to go in the cardboard box to go be sent away. Favourite part of the job was just handling film and the pleasure of showing those movies and looking out the projection port and seeing the public enjoy the movie.